Welcome everyone into another episode of the Fantasy Sports Rants podcast, hosted by the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network. As always, I am out here. My name is Chris Heil. You can follow me on Twitter at TheGrizzlyBeard and check out my site at FantasySportsRants.com. Tonight, I am breaking down what are some of the best things to do in best ball leagues. And not just what are the best things, but kind of my thought process through a draft. And I'm going to kind of break that down. And the league that I'm talking about specifically is for a good cause. So let's go ahead and get started into that. What I'm talking about is there's a league, and it's on a site, and you can check out the information. I posted it in the information of this podcast. If you go to Blog Talk Radio and type in Fantasy Sports Rants, or you check out the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network, you'll be able to see the information about the podcast. But it's on the website scottfishbowl.com/fantasycare/. So what these are fantasy football charity leagues. So these are leagues where you can go ahead and put a donation on GoFundMe sites. And once you do that, you go ahead and email Chris, who is actually a nice guy who even volunteered and helped out and volunteered his time to write an article for FantasySportsRants.com. So definitely give him a follow on Twitter. His Twitter tag is at something about football, and it's kind of spelled differently, but you'll get the hint. I retweet a ton of his stuff. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll see his. So let's go ahead and get into about this league. The league that I was able to sign up for was hashtag help Allie Rowland. So she is a unemployed single mother, nursing student who gives to the community. She had her books, laptops, and other personal items damaged by a flood. So we are fundraising for items like clothes, baby clothes, carpet, floor, printer, desk, dresser, things like those to help her out. So you do a $10 minimum donation, you let Chris know about your donation, and then there's even cool prizes. So let's say you win your league or you're second place in your league, you can win some of these things. You have two people can win 1 year Dynasty League Football Premium Memberships. One person can win an Under the Helm Premium Membership. One other person can win a Football Guys Premium Membership. Two people win 4 for 4 Premium Memberships. Three people will equal 1 month of Under the Helmet. Two people will get 1 month of the Dynasty League Football Premium Memberships. And then two Dynasty League Football T-shirts. So there is quite a bit to do there. And all of these leagues are best ball leagues. So you don't set up lineups. You don't do waivers. You don't make trades. You simply draft a team and forget about it. The draft is 20 rounds long. And so they work kind of different. They're on myfantasyleague.com. If you've never done one, they are different. They're through email. So you don't sit down and devote an hour to this. What it is you get an email and it says so-and-so drafted player X. When it's your turn, it says you are on the clock. You make your draft. And so it's at your leisure. You have 8 hours to make your pick. So the lineups consist of one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, and two flex. And the flex go running back, wide receiver, tight end. And the scoring system is PPR, and it's basically points per reception league with a 1.5 point for tight end a point per reception. Now, granted, the tight end flew off the board in this league, but I still think there's value later in the draft for tight ends. So I'm going to probably go with two or three tight ends. Granted, most guys probably have one or two, but there's some deep guys here in that still haven't been drafted. And I'll kind of go into this with you. Currently in the draft, we are in the 10th round, so we're about halfway through. And I can kind of break down my team and how I went into things and what my kind of strategy is. So, like I said, tight ends, you do get more points, but you also have to remember that's points per reception. So you have to think guys like Rob Gronkowski are going to go high. Guys like Jimmy Graham are going to go high. So with the 1.1 pick, Rob Gronkowski, second pick, Odell Beckham, number 3, Antonio Brown, number 4, Jamal Charles, number 5, Julio Jones, 6, Adrian Peterson, 7, Le'Veon Bell, which is pretty late for Le'Veon. 8, Dez. 9, Mike Evans. A bit early for Mike Evans. 10, Eddie Lacy. 11, DeMarco Murray. So I'm on the clock at 1.12. Last pick, so I get the swing here. So every pick I get, I have to double up. It kind of stinks being in that position because you have to double up and you have to maybe take someone a little earlier or you kind of get guys that are steals. So I feel like I got a steal at 112 with Demaryius Thomas. And so I want my original goal was to go wide receiver. And I could have taken guys. Let's see who the next wide receivers would have taken. AJ Green was available. He was the next wide receiver taken. Randall Cobb, Calvin Johnson. Granted, all these guys have great value. But I need to have depth all over. And so, like I said, the flex position holds too. So I went running back, wide receiver. So Demaryius Thomas. And then with my first pick in the second round, I went Matt Forte. Like we said, it's a PPR league. He still holds tremendous value in PPR. So I kind of split the difference there. Granted, if I would have been in like the A spot where someone took Dez, they were able to take, let's see here, in the second round. They took a running back. So a little different, but you'll see different things as people draft. So I'm going to break down the pick per pick for maybe the first three or four rounds, kind of give you what's going on there. And then my current picks and what's going on later in the league or later on in the league. You know, I'm really looking to win something. I think that my team is pretty stacked, and it's an overall team. You'll see, I was looking at some guys' rosters, and they have a lot of running backs, or they took quarterbacks early, different things like that, and it's a bit of a stretch. I waited on quarterback, I didn't really wait on quarterback. I got a great value at quarterback. I've waited on tight end, and I think I'm going to be safe there still. So in the second round, I was able to take Matt Forte. Second pick was Marshawn Lynch, great value. So he's looking at DeMarco Murray and Marshawn Lynch, two great running backs there, fantastic value. Third pick, Arian Foster. So this guy's looking at Eddie Lacy, Arian Foster. The next guy has Mike Evans, Andrew Luck. A little different, you know, but I kind of like it. If you are a firm believer that Andrew Luck's going to sustain his current on pace, he's going to have maybe 45 to 50, maybe 50-plus touchdowns, then Andrew Luck is a solid pick there. However, I still think the quarterbacks, you can wait a little bit, still get great value. And I'll go into that a little later of who I got, what value they were at, and why I think that's a good selection. Then someone took C.J. Anderson, A.J. Green, Aaron Rodgers, Jeremy Hill, LeSean McCoy, Jimmy Graham, which, again, I'm surprised he didn't get selected a little earlier. I kind of thought about Jimmy Graham there at the end of the draft. You know, of course, you say when you get those catches, but Seattle doesn't throw that often, so that's where the knock was for me. Calvin Johnson then was selected, Randall Cobb, and that rounds out the second round. So going into the third round, and I will have the third and the fourth pick, or the 3.12 and 4.1 pick here. And so we'll kind of go into what I'm thinking, different things along those lines. DeAndre Hopkins taken at 3.01. And so what the person wrote was they didn't like any of the running backs left. Hopkins should get or should hog the targets now that Andre has left town. Rightfully so, but you still have to worry about the quarterback. He took DeAndre Hopkins ahead of Jordy Nelson. Not a real big fan of that selection. Took him also ahead of Alshon Jeffrey, T.Y. Hilton, Emmanuel Sanders, who's a PPR machine. I'm not in love with that selection. But we'll see how it works out. So Jordy Nelson, Alshon Jeffrey, and then Carlos Hyde sitting there in the third round. T.Y. Hilton in the third round. Great value there. Travis Kelce taken at 3.06. I know it's a tight end premium, but goodness, you're talking about a team with Alex Smith as the quarterback. Just not something I'm totally in love with. Sammy Watkins taken, Emmanuel Sanders, Brandon Cooks, Melvin Gordon, Lamar Miller, and now I'm on the board. So I have a wide receiver. I have a running back. There's a couple different things I could do here. I looked at wide receivers. I could take Kelvin Benjamin. I could take Amari Cooper. I could take Jordan Matthews. The only guy I'm really looking at there is Jordan Matthews. I think that he holds the best value for wide receiver. Then I start looking at the running backs. I see guys like Alfred Morris, Justin Forsett, Frank Gore, Todd Gurley, Alfred Morris, Jonathan Stewart. So I'm thinking I'm going to go running back for sure with my first next pick. I love Mark Ingram. I've talked about Mark Ingram, I feel like, every single podcast I've had out here. So I went Mark Ingram. And he's a guy who's going to have over at least 200 carries. So I feel comfortable having him in my lineup. And so I'm looking at Matt Forte, Mark Ingram as my two running backs. Then I go ahead and select another starter, a starting running back. I go with Alfred Morris. He's going to be one of my flex guys. Very comfortable with him in that situation. I can plug him in the flex. Don't have to worry about anything. So with my final pick, Mark Ingram, great value. Alfred Morris, you know, I could have went a couple different ways with that. I probably could have went with Jordan Matthews and I would have been fine, but I'm going to go running back because I know I can plug him and not worry. One of the guys I probably really would have been a lot more comfortable with was Justin Forsett, and I don't know what I was thinking there when I selected Alfred Morris. In hindsight, it's the better pick now, but it's in the past. So let's go with the fourth round here. I took Alfred Morris. Kelvin Benjamin was taken. Justin Forsett, Amari Cooper, Frank Gore, Todd Gurley, Jordan Matthews, Jonathan Stewart, Greg Olsen, which fourth round, as many catches as he had last year in the tight end premium in this league, great value there. Russell Wilson taken at 4.10, Keenan Allen, Giovanni Bernard, and then T.J. Yeldon. I would take T.J. Yeldon over Giovanni Bernard. And so as you can see here, with me taking running backs early, now people are starting to freak out and have to take these running backs, so they're going to open up wide receivers. They're going to scramble around to do that. So that helps me out in a situation also where maybe I attack the running back situation early. People are going to start going for wide receivers. So T.J. Yeldon was taken, then Cam Newton in the fifth round. So, I haven't picked out a quarterback, and we're going to get to who I got at quarterback. So, the fifth round, third pick, C.J. Spiller, Martellus Bennett, great value there. Zach Ertz, a bit early, but again, tight end premium, so I can understand they could justify that, but still a little too early on someone with a totally different offense and different people, personnel. I'm just not in love with that. Next pick, Golden Tate, Kevin White, Andre Ellington, Jarvis Landry, Allen Robinson, Brandon Marshall, who's the guy I wanted. I was eyeing him. I love Brandon Marshall. I think he holds fantastic value, and he's a guy who's been able to get 1,000 yards so many seasons in a row. He's also a PPR machine. I know the quarterback situation's a bit fuzzy, but my goodness, he's a stud. Now I went with a guy in PPR. I went running back, running back, running back pretty much. Now I had to take a wide receiver, and I wanted to go with a guy who's good in PPR because it was PPR league. I went with Julian Edelman. Granted, I know the whole Tom Brady thing, but he is an underneath. He is a PPR machine. I love Julian Edelman. He's kind of like a safe guy. You just plug him. Don't worry about it. Now in the sixth round, first pick, I go ahead and I pay attention to the quarterback situation. In the sixth round, I was able to get Peyton Manning. A lot of people are nervous about Peyton, saying, oh, he's falling off, different things along those lines. But you keep saying that. I'm not as concerned as you are. Peyton Manning was still able to throw up great numbers last year, and he had an injury. With an injury like that, a lower leg injury, you have to remember that it affects everything. You can't move in the pocket. You're throwing. You're not able to have as much strength. Different things along those lines where he is going to be able to come back and duplicate what he was able to do last season, if not better. He's working on staying healthy. He's older. I think he's 35, and he's still able to stay incredibly healthy. I'm totally fine with Peyton Manning as my quarterback. Now, I'm going to address the quarterback situation probably a little earlier in this league. I haven't done it yet, but Peyton Manning finished fourth overall with quarterback. 39 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, not bad. You know, when you look at the top guys like Andrew Luck, had one more touchdown, one more interception. I'll take the Aaron Rodgers, 38 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Peyton Manning's right there. He hasn't lost a step for as old as he is. And I'm very comfortable with Peyton Manning in my lineup in that situation. I'm going to address quarterback later on in this draft. I don't want to get give off who I'm going with. But like we said, it is a best ball league, so you can't pick up waivers. You want to get maybe two or three of these guys, and maybe a couple guys that are just total sleepers that you're just randomly throwing the dice with, like a guy like Jameis Winston, where you throw him in, and if Andrew Luck or someone like Peyton Manning does get hurt, something along those lines, you can plug these guys in and feel, not necessarily plug them in, but they just go in automatically, and you can feel okay with that. So I'm going to kind of break down the rest of my team here and what my thought process was with this and where I'm sitting at. And I think I feel pretty happy with my team. Like I said, there's a couple guys that you could have switched out. But so far, my team is Peyton Manning, Matt Forte, Mark Ingram, Alfred Morse, and then recently I was able to pick up Bishop Sankey. You know, the Tennessee offense is a bit blah, but I'm looking at a guy who's a starting running back. Again, a guy I can put in at the flex position, and he's going to be able to score points weekly. I'm not going to have a goose egg. I don't have to worry about a guy like he was taken before Joseph Randle. Joseph Randle may not be the starter by the season start. He could be the third string guy. Darren McFadden could be second string, and they could get someone like Adrian Peterson. So rolling the dice with Randle is just a little too much for me this early in the season. So I felt a little more comfortable going with Sankey. Now, you know how I'm talking about? I have four good running backs. I've looked around at other teams, and there's a guy who has Trey Mason and Shane Vereen. That, to me, is a bit troublesome. He has Julius Thomas and Austin Seferian Jenkins. Okay, I can understand that he has better tight ends than what I'm going to go over with mine. Another guy has David Johnson, Arizona's running back, and Adrian Peterson. Again, I'd be stressing out about my running back situation. So the teams in here are a little different, and it's fun. Another guy has Giovanni Bernard, Charles Sims, TJ Yeldon, Amir Abdullah. Another guy has CJ Anderson, Andre Ellington, Frank Gore. A lot of issues with these teams, and I am completely comfortable with my running back situation. Another guy has J.I., Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson. Again, the stress is getting to me there. Another person has C.J. Spiller, Tevin Coleman, Joy Bell. Not loving that team. So let's go into my wide receivers. I have Julian Edelman. I have Demaryius Thomas. My 1-2s on the team. Won't have to worry too much about them. Then I was able to take Vincent Jackson, who I still think is going to be a complete stud in fantasy. He's going to be right around the 180 to 200 fantasy points, which in terms is what Torrey Smith was able to do last year. He was much higher than Michael Floyd, about what Jordan Matthews did, a little more than Jordan Matthews last year. So you have to look right around that point where he's going to be your wide receiver 3, and I'm okay having him there. Like I said, I went more with running backs. I'll take a little worse wide receiver, but he's a good wide receiver 3, and he's a big, tall receiver, works great in the red zone. The next wide receiver I got is Devontae Parker. I like him a lot, and I think that Jarvis Landry is the big guy there, but Devontae Parker is going to get a lot of looks. He is the young guy there. He's going to be the inside. He's going to be moving around all over in that offense. So Devontae Parker is okay with me. If he blows up, I hit it big. If he doesn't, it's whatever. I have these other guys in these positions to do okay for me. I have, you know, it is two. Right now, I would see my roster as Peyton starting, Matt Forte, Mark Ingram as my 1-2. Now I can put in Alfred Morris as a flex. I have Demaryius Thomas, Edelman as my other guys. I can have Alfred Morris flex, Vincent Jackson flex, and I'm good. That's my lineup. Then I go ahead and plug in my tight end. And now, like I said, I waited and waited and waited for tight end. I waited a little longer than I wanted, and yes, I really didn't get the position I wanted to draft, but you can't really complain about it because it was just randomized. I was able to select Tyler Eifert. I like Tyler. I think he's going to be a huge fantasy production this year. They got rid of Jermaine Gresham. Not necessarily got rid of, but he's a free agent, and they could always sign him again. I don't think they're going to. If Tyler Eifert stays healthy, he is an absolute freak when it comes to football. I watched him at Notre Dame. He's a very gifted athlete, and he could have huge numbers. He's never been able to really fight the injury bug so far in the NFL. So I'm looking around at the rest of the tight ends, and let's see if I can pull up who's still available, different things along those lines. So I'm pulling up the draft picks now, and that's kind of something I want to see is what tight ends I'm able to get, because I'm probably going to address the tight end situation again, another quarterback here, because you want to have the safety net there for your offense and for your team. Like I said, we're only halfway through in this draft, so I'm not even on the clock yet. We're going to go ahead and pull up the tight end situation, and here we're pulled up. And so the best next tight end, Eric Ebron, don't really care for him, but I'm looking at guys like Max Williams still available, Kobe Fleener, I could take a flyer on him, Kyle Rudolph, again, these are all guys, Ladarius Green, Jace Amaro, Jordan Reed, Owen Daniels, Larry Donnell, all these guys, Charles Clay, who I think could have pretty good gear. I'm okay with kind of gambling with these guys. Owen Daniels, who could be the main guy out in Denver, I may really take a flyer on him, especially with the Kubiak offense. He moves around and keeps him around. Jared Cook's still available way down in the draft. Heath Miller. Again, I'm okay with these guys. Michael Rivera. Like I said, I know there's a tight end premium, but why not take a couple flyers on some of these guys and see how they turn out? Now let's address the quarterback situation and see what we have still. We have Teddy Bridgewater, who could be a top 12 to 15 quarterback. Peyton Manning goes down. I'm okay with him as my second string. Jameis Winston, Phillip Rivers, Derek Carr, Marcus Mariota, Colin Kaepernick, Joe Flacco, Sam Bradford, Nick Foles, Jay Cutler. I'm okay. Carson Palmer, great value there. I'm okay with these guys. I'm okay with drafting some of them later on in this draft where some guys already have two quarterbacks. This is where I feel like I'm going to be able to add the depth later on for my team. Now let's look at what's available for the running back, wide receiver. See, and this is a good thing with these guys that only have two running backs. These are the guys they're looking at still available. They have Doug Martin, who I would be okay with taking just because he could be the starter each and every week. Then you have Nile Davis, Ryan Matthews, David Cobb, Darren McFadden, Christine Michael. So you're talking about a lot of backup guys who could take over the position. Yes, I understand that. And these are the guys that you want later on, like the 15th, the 16th round, who are just total flyers. If they get the job, they do. If not, whatever. One guy I'm secretly looking for is LeGarrette Blount in this draft. He's still available. He's going to be the starter out in New England. I'm okay with having him on my team. And again, just another guy. My team's going to be overloaded with all these flex and running backs, but I'm okay with that. Wide receivers are still available. Cody Latimer, Jalen Strong. Right now we're in the 10th round. Kenny Stills, Kendall Wright, Victor Cruz, Percy Harvin. Guys like these, I'm okay with taking. Kendall Wright's going to have a good season. He's got a new quarterback. Victor Cruz, if he comes back healthy, will be an absolute steal. Cordell Patterson could be a steal also later on in this draft. Again, these people just keep slipping and slipping and slipping. I'm okay with this. And hopefully anyone that's in this league, in this Allie Roland draft, is not listening to this and not going to snipe all my picks from me. So hopefully you guys are not listening to this. So I wanted to kind of give you guys an idea of how I was drafting, what I'm looking at, because that's the big thing is when you're trying to draft, you're like, what are these guys thinking? How are they doing this? How are they able to get these type of teams? What do they do? And these are some of the strategies that I use and what I like to do when it comes to the best ball and just regular drafts. So you have to go in with a strategy. I want to go in wide receiver. It didn't work out, so I had to go a different way. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes you fail when you do that, but that's part of the fantasy strategy and why mock drafts and doing these different things help out and help you as a overall fantasy enthusiast. To know how to go in and let's say I also wanted a quarterback somewhat early, and I got one in the 6th round just because it fell to me. I think that's a good value. Tight end, I knew everyone was going to jump earlier. I'm waiting. It's fine. Like I said, I have value elsewhere, and I think that's going to benefit me in the long run. So one other thing I want to talk to you about is I'm going to be producing a weekly article. My article is going to be called the Would You Rather piece. And it's about my last article, and here I'm going to bring it up just to kind of tell you guys what it's about. And what it is you've played the game Would You Rather before. Would you rather, kiss so-and-so or so-and-so? Would you rather hang out with your mom or dad for Christmas? Would you rather, you know, there's people that take it dirty, go to the next step, make it difficult, and make some real difficult situations. Like, would you rather kiss Kim Kardashian or Paris Hilton? Would you rather have no internet, no cell phone? There's tons of questions. And we used to do this all the time back when I was in high school. So my very first article I produced was Young Guns. And so what I'm going to do in some of my weekly podcasts is I'm going to kind of go over my decision of what my would you rather was. So in my would you rather, I selected I have Young Guns or Old Balls. Who would you rather take? So you have Young Guns of Mike Evans, who is the 12th overall wide receiver. And these are according to fantasypros.com. So he's the 12th overall receiver. Sammy Watkins, wide receiver 17. Amari Cooper, 28. So what I did is I tried to pair them somewhat similar. The first guys are somewhat difficult to put because you want a guy who's younger and a guy who's older. So would you rather have the young guns who I listed above or the old guys who are Calvin Johnson, who's wide receiver 5 on Fantasy Pros, Andre Johnson, wide receiver 19, who's similar to Sammy Watkins, 17, and then Roddy White, who's wide receiver 29, or Amari Cooper, 28. So what I did is I'm writing up these articles, and what you do is if you write on the article, you can leave a reply. Give me your take. I'll read it live on the air. I'll tell everyone what you're thinking, what I'm thinking. And I would totally go with the old balls in this situation. I've talked many times about how to draft, and drafting safely is the way to go. When you draft these safe guys and you know what they're going to produce each and every week, you're fine. You can argue with me all day. You're worried about Andre Johnson and his role in Indianapolis. I worry about Sammy Watkins and his quarterback situation. That's going to be my argument with you. And I'd rather have the safer guy. Yes, they're going to keep him off the field a little bit here and there, rotating like Moncrief, different guys like that in. But he's going to be fresh when he goes in. He's still a huge target. He's going to be a huge focal point in that offense, has leadership. He's a veteran. He wants to win a Super Bowl, so he's going to go out and put out his best. And not to mention that he was not producing last year. He's been producing with crappy quarterbacks for a long time. And then so you can go ahead and say Calvin Johnson, Mike Evans. You can say Walsh. You could even lean towards Evans a little bit. I'll give you that. So you could say Young Guns won, Old Guys won. Now a tiebreaker, Amari Cooper or Roddy White. I will go with Roddy White all day. Amari Cooper, yes, gifted, talented athlete. I get it. But he's still in Oakland's offense. And you're talking about Roddy White, who has one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Quarterback is always the tiebreaker for me. If you know, they're wide receiver 28, wide receiver 29. I'm going to go with that tiebreaker of quarterback all the time. Roddy White was still injured last year and has put up great numbers every year in fantasy. He's been consistent. He's older, though, and the only time he's ever missed any time was last year. He's always been able to play and push through. So I'm okay with rolling with Roddy White in that situation. And with the old guys, I totally give them the win here. Granted, you know, these are guys that you're going to do in redraft only. You're not putting these guys for dynasty. If you're talking dynasty, you're going to laugh all day and go with the young guys. I get it. But old guys, and you're just talking about this upcoming season, Calvin Johnson still has some left in the tank. This is the last year of Calvin Johnson. You can mark my words for that next year. This is going to be Calvin Johnson's final like good fantasy-relevant year. He's going to be a wide receiver 3, wide receiver low-end wide receiver 2 from after the season on. And he's, you know, maybe I'm a little too early or a little too late on, too. I could see him starting to sustain more injuries this year. He's starting to get banged up more and more. So that's the reason I'm not riding Calvin Johnson. A lot of people have him high. I have him ranked lower just because I'm worried about those injuries. I'd rather be – and that's the thing I do in fantasy. I'd rather be a little safe. I'd rather be safe than sorry. I'd rather not jump on him in the first round and ride everything and he gets injured like last year. I'd rather wait. If I can get him in the second, third round, which you laugh, but if I can get him later on, I will. If he's still – if I see he's streaking throughout the season – I'll trade up for him if I think he's that great, but I'm not going to risk my whole team on Calvin Johnson or an older veteran like that. I'd rather wait at this safe young person. Now, there is no safe pick in fantasy. And last year, I was all about Moneyball. Well, it's not a safe pick. I said it was safe as it could come. I probably joked a million times that he could trip and fall into the end zone for 10 touchdowns. Well, he didn't. Granted, I think he's a possible sleeper this year. He could come in and still take care or take some of the carries away and could still be fantasy viable, but I could be wrong. We'll see. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up the show here on the Fantasy Sports Rants podcast. Again, check out scottfishbowl.com/fantasycares. And as always, we're on the Fantasy Asylum Sports Network. Make sure you check out all the podcasts over there. Go to Asylum Fantasy on Twitter. Rick and Rick will be glad to help you guys out. And thanks again for listening to another podcast. Don't put your weight the same.